of a man's will. It is the breaking of his heart. God went out of his way to save us from sin. The Lord is good, and he has gone to a great expense to save us from sin. And the morning stars are singing together, and all the sons of God and daughters of God should be shouting for joy. Amen. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to invite your attention to the book of 1 Thessalonians, the chapter is 5, and there is one verse in particular that I would like for us to focus upon this morning. We are certainly happy to have all of those who are visiting with us today. If you have it, say amen. I'm going to ask you to read this text after us. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Let's read it once again. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Using that text today, I want to share the message. If you can't prove it, don't use it. Can you say that with me? If you can't prove it, don't use it. Once again, if you can't prove it, don't use it. And once again, if you can't prove it, don't use it. Now today it's recognized in so-called Christendom as Easter Sunday. And it is said that all over the country, you have more people attending church this day than any other day in the year. And a lot of Christians, as Brother Sperling say, are CMEs. They come on Christmas. They come on Mother's Day. And they come on Easter. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Now, I hope you ain't a CME. I hope you are every Sunday Christian. Amen. Amen. Because that's the way it ought to be. But I'm so happy to announce that we in the churches of Christ celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus every Sunday. Because upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, amen, and we recognize that they were celebrating the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, never to die again. Now, I don't know whether you've heard that sometimes people talk about taking the leap of faith. And what they are doing, they're inviting us to believe something that you don't have sufficient evidence for. In other words, you're taking a dark leap. There's an invitation to take a dog leap into a concept or a belief. But when you prove something, you prove it by evidence or argument. Evidence or argument. And we as Christians, if you're not a Christian, you ought to be one. Because God never tells us, when it comes down to the Christian faith, to take a leap of faith. Because according to the Holy Bible, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Amen. So Christianity is based upon evidence. And this morning, I want to talk about some reasons why, if you can't prove it, don't use it. I wouldn't want to get on an airplane that hadn't been tested. Hello, y'all. I would not want to get on a cruise ship that has not been tested. I don't want an automobile that has not gone through stringent tests to let me know it's roadworthy. Amen. I wouldn't want a doctrine. I wouldn't want a belief. I wouldn't embrace a belief that has not been tested. The text says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Why, Brother Moss? Because the word of God says that many false teachers have gone out into the world. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to talk about two questions. And these questions are taken from a great theologian. And here's how he formulated those questions. He said, number one, what proves the resurrection? And number two, what does the resurrection prove? That's what we're going to look at today. What proves? You want me to believe that Jesus died, was buried, and he came back to life 3 days later, never to die again? And you want me to base my life and my behavior and my values and my ethics on this particular belief? Amen. So the word says, if you can't prove it, don't use it. Is that all right? Is that good counsel? If you can't prove it, don't. Now the prophet raises the question, who hath believed our report? Well, what's the report? The report is that Jesus of Nazareth was killed on a cross. They buried him. He claimed that he was the Son of God. They crucified him. They buried him. And 3 days later, he came back to life. That's the report. The question is, who has believed it? We go further into the report. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that, verse 5 says, and that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. That's the report. There's a scripture in the Bible, Proverbs 14, 15. It says this. It says that the simple believes every word, but the prudent looks well into it. The simple are the people who are open and do not have filters, if you will. They cannot discern. They cannot separate truth from fiction. There's a lot of things being taught over the great airways of life and the great marketplace of life. A lot of things are being taught. And the question is, if you can't prove it, or the counsel is, if you can't prove it, then don't use it. Amen. The simple believe every word. There are some people who believe anything you tell them. Girl, did you know that the cow jumped over the moon? Well, what time did it jump? By 12:45. Amen. But the Bible says that the prudent use good judgment. The prudent are people who use thinking, critical thinking skills. And I know sometimes Thomas has gotten a bad rap. We call him doubting Thomas, but really, Thomas is a tough mind skeptic. And Thomas is saying, unless you give me some proof, unless you give me some evidence, I'm not going to believe. Y'all said he risen, but I don't believe y'all. I need some proof. If I'm going to hang my faith, if I'm going to hang my destiny on this belief, then you better give me some proof. If you want me to be a member of your church, if you want me to be a member of your group, then you must very well give me some evidence on which to hang my confidence or my belief. Let me give you some evidences. Number one, what proves the resurrection are the words of Jesus himself. Jesus said in John 2, if you tear down this temple, I will build it again in 3 days. Now they said to him, this temple was 46 years in building. Are you going to build it in 3 days? But they did not realize he was speaking of the temple of his body. And after his resurrection, the disciples remembered the words that he had said, and they believed the scripture, and they believed Jesus. So the first line of evidence that I present, that Jesus predicted that if you kill me, this gets deep, y'all. If you kill me, in 3 days, I will rise again. Amen. The second line of evidence is the eyewitness testimony. The eyewitnesses, there were eyewitnesses. And the eyewitnesses said, God has raised up Jesus, and we are witnesses. Ron read it. God has raised him up. Let me tell you, the three pillars that span the bridge from time to eternity are the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to say this morning that if Christ is not risen, right, finished over the church door, hold down the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel and erect in its place the blackest flag the most blatant infidel could ever erect. If Christ is not risen, this faith thing is a sham. They said, we saw him. So we have his words, I'll rise in 3 days. We have the testimony. And you know, in a sense, all of us are like jurors sitting in a panel of jurors. We talked about this morning, you know, sometime in the court of law, the theory is that there's a search for truth, but a lot of time it's a search to win. Hello, y'all. And if truth happens to come out in the process of the winning, then that's fine. But what we do in a jury, we listen to the evidence. And we use our thinking and reasoning. And we reach a conclusion about whether something is true or false. So the evidence are the words of Jesus, 3 days, I'll rise again. The eyewitness testimony, and now we have the testimony of Scripture. The Scripture testifies that Jesus would rise from the dead. In Acts chapter 2, beginning about verse 22, Brother Ron read it. Matter of fact, I'm going to have him. Brother Ron, would you get that mic there? And let's open your Bibles now. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 and let's look at the testimony of Scripture. Paul said that he rose again from the dead according to the Scriptures. The Scriptures predicted. Well, there was a prophet by the name of David. And in Psalm 16 is what Peter quotes in Acts chapter 2, Psalm 16, verses 8 through 10 or 11. Let's do this first, Brother Ron. Go to Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. And then we're going to come back to Acts 2, 22 and see what David says about the Scriptures predicting. The Scriptures predicted that Jesus would rise from the dead. You have it, Ron?
I have.
What did it say, brother?
Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me.
Now, this is David talking. He's a prophet, y'all.
Because he is at my right hand.
Read.
I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad.
How many can say my heart is glad? Oh, my heart is glad. How many say I still have joy? I still have joy after all the thing I've been through, all the stuff I've been through. The way they treated me, I'm still rising above it all. Read, Ron.
My flesh also shall rest in hope.
My flesh shall rest in hope.
For thou will not leave my soul in hell.
Thou will not leave my soul in hell.
Neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption.
And that is, Jesus said his body was not, he died, but his body was not going to decay in a grave. Now some say that Jesus died and was buried in a grave and dogs dug him up and ate his body. But that's a lie, y'all.
Amen.
Read, Ron.
Thou wilt show me the path of life.
The path of life.
In thy presence is fullness of joy.
All right.
At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
Now let's go to Acts 2. Now Peter in his Pentecostal sermon is quoting this verse beginning at verse 22. Acts chapter 2 verse 22. What does it say, brother?
Ye men of Israel.
You men of Israel.
Hear these words.
Drop down to verse 26, Ron.
Therefore, my heart rejoice.
Uh-huh.
And my tongue was glad.
Go back to verse 21. What does that say?
And it shall come to pass
uh-huh.
that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Read.
Ye men of Israel,
uh-huh.
hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth. A man approved of God
by miracles, signs, and wonders, as he did in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Come on.
Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God.
Read.
Ye have taken. And by wicked hands.
Have crucified him. Watch this.
Whom God have raised up.
Here's the scripture, y'all. The scripture says God raised them up. Can you believe it? God raised them up. Read it.
Having loosed the pains of death. Because it was not possible.
It was not possible.
That he should be whole.
It was not possible. That death could hold him. And I know death had held a lot of people. I know death had held Abraham. I know death held Isaac.
Yes, sir.
I know death held Jacob. But it couldn't hold Jesus.
That's right.
Is that all right?
That's right.
Read, my brother.
For David speaking concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face.
And that's the verse he just read. Yeah. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. Come on.
For he is on my right hand.
He is on my right hand.
That I shall not be moved.
Come on.
Therefore did my heart rejoice. And my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in
my
hope.
My flesh shall rest in hope.
Because thou will not leave my soul in hell.
Because you're not going to leave me in the grave. You won't leave my soul in hell or Hades. Come on.
Neither will thou suffer thine Holy One
and you won't allow my body to decay. The scripture said his body wasn't going to decay, y'all. Amen. Read.
Thou hast made known to me the ways of life.
Thou hast made known to me, and you brought me back to life. Come on.
Thou shalt make me full of joy.
Thou shalt make me full of joy.
With thy countenance.
With thy countenance.
Men and brethren.
Men and brethren.
Let me freely speak.
Let
unto
me speak
you.
Freely. Let me talk. Can I talk to y'all? Come on.
Of the patriarch David.
Of the patriarch David.
That he is both dead and buried.
He's dead, and I can point to his sepulcher. He's dead and he's buried. Come on.
And his sepulcher.
And his sepulcher, his grave.
Is with us.
Is with us today. Come on.
Therefore, being a prophet.
He's a prophet.
And knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him.
And knowing that God, who cannot lie, God who doesn't play with words, God who doesn't make promises he does not intend to keep, has done with an oath. He said that I'm going to raise him up from the grave. Didn't he say that, Brother Ron?
He did.
Read it.
That of the fruit of his loins.
Of the fruit of his loins.
According to the flesh.
According to the flesh.
He will raise up Christ.
He will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Read.
He seeing this before spake of the resurrection.
Watch this. He's seeing this before spake of the resurrection. See, a prophet sees things before they happen.
Amen.
Now, a prophet ain't like Miss Cleo. Miss Cleo says she could tell your future. But Miss Cleo couldn't tell she was going to go bankrupt. She couldn't see that. Now how you going to tell me my future and you can't see your future? Is that all right?
That's
sort of like the guy who came in. Brother Earl said he was Jesus Christ, David Koresh, and said so he come in there with glasses on, and the man said he knew he wasn't Christ because he had on glasses. Is that all right?
Oh, yeah.
Christ, oh, my blind man eyes. What in the world he need with glasses?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's right.
He saw it before that Christ would be raised from the. And here's another line of evidence. And that is the empty tomb.
Yes, sir.
The empty tomb. All you got to do to prove that he didn't die, produce the body. Or, if you can't produce the body, get the DNA, run a test. Amen. Well, here's what the enemy said. Matthew chapter 27, verse 66, they said that the deceiver, when he was with us, he said he was going to rise in 3 days. So they said to Pilate, we need to make sure that we put him in that grave, we seal it and put a watch on it, lest his disciples come and steal the body away while we're asleep. And the last era would be worse than the first. So what they did, church, they sealed the grave with the Roman seal. They put soldiers or guards at the grave to keep it sure. But I'm telling you, early one Sunday morning, before the rooster said cock-a-doodle-doo, before the roses came down, brother, the dew came down and kissed the roses.
Yes,
the Bible said an angel descended from heaven.
Yes.
There was a great earthquake. And Brother Ron, his countenance was like lightning. His clothing was white as snow. He rolled the stone away.
Yes,
and not only did he roll it away, he sat on it. Is that all right? He didn't just roll it away, but he sat on it. And Jesus got up from the grave, folded his grave clothes, left them neatly. Is that all right? Walked out of the grave with the keys of death and hell swinging around his waist and said, I am he that once was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Is that all right? And when they saw, when these guards saw the angel, they were so scared. They was like dead men. Because they knew nothing they could do about it. And that was talking about this guy who claimed he was God. Hebrew Israelite. Down there in a jail locked up. Well, you mean tell me God, they got God in a jail, he can't get out of there? Because God could set a tornado anytime and tear up any jail. Is that all right? Another line of evidence are the 500 eyewitnesses. 500 people saw him. Can you believe it? Here's the report. 500 eyewitnesses saw the resurrected Christ at one time. Amen. If you had 100 witnesses, Sister Sperling, testifying to the truthfulness of a fact, wouldn't that be impressive? What if you had 200? They would call that the preponderance of evidence. What if you had 300? What if you had 400? But you got 500. 500 witnesses saw him at one time. And the resurrection appearances, see, the appearances and the eyewitnesses go hand in hand. He had to appear in order for them to see him. I'm telling you, your Christian faith has more historical evidence than any historical fact in the world. Do you believe George Washington existed? Do you believe Frederick Douglass existed? I'm telling you, we have more historical attestation for the resurrection of Christ than any other historical fact in the world. And you're going to treat this like it's not true? Can I give you a little more evidence? The evidence of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Here's a man who hated Christ. Was doing all he could to destroy the church. And I'm telling you, he had a Damascus Road experience. One day when he was on the Damascus Road, a light brighter than the noonday sun appeared to him. Knocked him off his horse, blinded him. It took his physical eyesight to give him spiritual insight. Knocked him off his horse, and he cried out, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus said to him, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecuting." And he said, I've chosen you. I've apprehended you. I've arrested you on this road because now I'm going to put you into the ministry. The man who did the most to destroy Christianity in the ancient world now is an apostle. That's proof of the resurrection of Christ. Let me give you one more line of evidence. The changed lives of the disciples. Before he was resurrected, they were scared. How many have been scared? How many ever been bullied? Matthew said he'd been bullied. Well, this off the record. But The way you handle a bully is you knock the devil at him. That's off the record. Now, don't y'all put that in your notes here. But that's how you handle that. Amen. See, when a bully know you will stand up. Amen. Now they may be taking your lunch money, but at some point you got to stop letting them take it. Y'all all right? What I'm telling you is that the disciples of Christ were intimidated, they were afraid, but after the resurrection, they came to Jerusalem preaching boldly, and they said, we better obey God rather than man. And they got beat up, Brother Spurling, and they were proud that they could suffer for Christ. Amen. This proves, the things I've just given you, proves the resurrection. His statement, "I'll rise in 3 days." The eyewitnesses, they saw him the scripture's prediction that he would rise. The empty tomb. Amen. 500 eyewitnesses at one time. Think about it. Amen. The conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Look at the preponderance of the changed lives. You mean tell me you're going to go through this life and you're not going to seriously consider Christianity? You got all this evidence and you're not going to seriously consider Christianity? Now, what proves it? Now, here's the second and final thought is, what does the resurrection prove? You got the two lines of thought? What proves it? Empty tomb. 500 eyewitnesses, eyewitness testimony, conversion of Saul of Tarsus, radical growth. I could add one more, the radical growth of the Christian church. But what does we live in a world, Sister Johnson, of cell phones, iPads, iPhones, fax machines, all kind of electronic gadgets. Amen. Even got me a smartphone. Oh yeah, I'm hip now, y'all. Yeah, I'm texting and everything. Amen. And you know, when I got this phone, Tracy don't want me to say that, but I'm going to say it anyway because I'm grown. When I got this phone, she said, I don't believe daddy can handle this phone. Well, you handle one. How come I can't handle one? I'm handling it now. Is that all right? Praise God. I even know how to put it on silent. I don't think I did it today, though. Amen. Is that all right? So we live in a world of iPads, iPhones, smartphones, cell phones, laptop computers, fax machines. All kinds of things. Now, how can we convince the modern mind? A scientific, a lot of us are scientific thinkers, right? How many believe in the progress of medical science and the progress of science? Can you believe in a resurrection? Here we are, 2016, March 27, 2016. And I've given you from the ancient world lines of evidence. And I'm saying if you can't prove it, don't use it. Now, Brother Moss, okay, you in my mind, you've proven the resurrection. So now, what does it prove? Number one, it proves, and this is going to get deep, y'all. It proves that God, the God who flung the stars way out yonder in their sirius sockets like exquisite chandeliers, the God who made the rolling hills and the flowing streams, the God who took a splendid coat of colors, wrapped it around the shoulders of the rainbow, the God who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth as if it had issued from the womb. That God who made you, who made me, he came to this earth. I said, God came to this earth. I said, God came to this earth. And God lived in human form for 30 plus years. You gonna ignore that? I said God been by here. But the West, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. Listen to Paul. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, justified in the spirit, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. God has been by here, and guess what? He came by here for you. The second thing, it proves that God has the words of eternal life. How many want an abundant life? How many want eternal life? I'm telling you, God has the words of eternal life. Peter said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. He's still saying, let not your heart be troubled. He's still saying, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He's still saying to you, Angie, I will never leave you, nor will I. I tell you, God been by here. And God died on a cross as the God-man for your sin. He got up from the grave, keys of death and hell swinging round his waist. He said, I am he. Once was dead. I'm alive forevermore. It proves all authority in heaven and in earth is in his hands. It proves it. And because of that, he said, go tell all nations. Tell your children. Tell your best friends. Tell everybody that God has been by here. And God loves you. He wants the best life for you. And then it proves that faith, hope, and love are vital ingredients that you ought to have in your life. How much faith you got in your life? I know you know how much money you got. Hello? Well, I sure try to keep track of them few dollars I got. Can anybody say amen to that? I try to keep track. You better keep track, because Bernadette will relieve you if you don't keep track. Is that all right? It proves that faith, hope, and love. We need more faith at Bush Hill. We need more love at... Let's keep hope alive, church. We don't have to walk around with our heads hanging down. Maybe going through a tough time right now, but I got a feeling. I got a feeling, y'all. Sister John, everything going to be. Can the church say amen on that? Amen. Because God has spoken, let the church say. Amen. Amen. We need more love. We need more love. You've been drinking hate or AIDS, stop drinking it. If you've been drinking Mad Aid, stop drinking it. And start drinking the love, the ice cold water of love. And then finally, I want to say this to you, and I'll say good morning. It proves that laying up treasures for yourself is a sound investment. Because guess what, y'all? This world is not your home. Don't care what kind of house you live in, what kind of car you're driving, that's wonderful. But one day, you got to get up out of here. So the Bible says, lay up. Here's what Christ said, lay up. How many believe in investments? How many believe in finding it? What's the guy named? Warren Buffett tells us he's the investment guru. He's the oracle of Omaha. Not like Peyton Manning. Omaha, Omaha. We ain't talking about that. But he says, in investments, diversify. How many believe in diversifying? He says, don't put all your eggs in one. But what? But do what? Spread those eggs. And then he said, watch them. Now, Brandon Madoff said, put all your eggs in my basket. And watch me. Praise God. But what does Christ say? Christ says, how many want an investment where it can't get ripped off? How many want an investment, a stock, where the stock value will never go down? Because the stock market kind of fluctuate, right? The Dow Jones, the NASDAQ. I know y'all sophisticated investors know that lingo. Amen. But how many want a stock where you will never lose profitability? He said, this stock, thieves can't get it. Lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where moth and rust, time won't affect it. But lay it up in heaven. Amen. Amen. And he said, if you lay it up in heaven, you'll never lose. Now I know so-called Rem Ike would say you can't lose with the stuff I use. But I'm telling you here, he had it wrong. I know Muhammad Ali said, I'm the greatest. But he had it wrong. But I can tell you, a man, you can't lose with the stuff he use. I got a man who said, I'm the greatest. His name is Jesus Christ. Let me say good morning to you. I tell you, normally I'm trying to say more and less, but since it was Easter Sunday, I said I'd take a little more time. Is that all right? But let me tell you this. It was a dark day. How many in your life have ever had a dark day? How many in your life ever had a hard time? I don't know. Perhaps last week was a hard week. But oh, you made it through and you're here on Sunday morning. Is that all right? Well, that Friday, it was a dark day when they marched Christ up a hill. It had the shape of a skull. And they took him up that hill. Oh, they had beat him all night and kept him up all night. And somehow they took him up that skull-shaped hill. And they laid him on that cross. It was a dark day. Is that all right? They drove nails in his feet. It was a dark day. Is that all right? They lifted him up on the cross and he cried out, my God, oh my God, why have you forsaken me? That was a dark day. Is that all right? They stuck a spear in his side. And brother Ron, out came blood and water. That was a dark day. And finally, he dropped his head in the lock of his shoulders. And he died. And that was a dark day. Is that all right? They took his tortured and brutalized body down from that cross. And that was a dark day. Is that all right? They wrapped his body in new linen. And they put him in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. And that was a dark day. Is that all right? And all night, Friday night, that was a dark day. Is that all right? And all day Saturday, that was a dark day. Is that all right? But early, oh, I got some good news for you. Early, I said early on Sunday morning. Jesus got up from the grave, never to die no more. Is that all right? And that was a great day. Is that all right? And Wes, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Is that all right? Because he lives, life is worth the living just because he lives. Is that all right? Because he lives, his truth is marching on. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He's trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He's loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. And it's true. I said his truth. Oh, his truth is marching on. Is that all right? And because his truth is marching on, the name of Jesus, I said the name of Jesus, God has highly exalted that name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God. It's something about the name Jesus. Is that all right? Jesus, the dome of all vocal grandeur. Jesus, my Alpha and Omega. Jesus, the first and the last. Jesus, the beginning and the end. Jesus, the best thing that ever happened to me. Is that all right? Jesus, Moses' burning bush. Jesus, Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of the wheel. Jesus, Saul's bright light on the Damascus road. Jesus, bread when I'm hungry. Jesus, water when I'm thirsty. Jesus, light when I'm in darkness. Jesus, life when I'm dying. Is that all right? Jesus, he's my everything. Is that all right? And because of Jesus, I can face tomorrow. And folks might say, I like to win Publishers Clearing House. Yeah. Anybody want to win that? Yeah. So my mom said, yeah. But I still rather have Jesus. Is that all right? It's all right to be in the 100 most influential people in the world. But I still would rather have Jesus. All right to travel around the world, see the 8 wonders of the world wide. But I still would rather have Jesus. And because he lives, y'all stand, that's the message. Because he lives, what number is that? I got up and trying to sing it last time, didn't know it. Let's tell the truth on yourself. We're going to sing this morning for the invitational hymn, Because he lives. Does it make a difference, church? Does it make a difference, church? Number 91, y'all. Does it make a difference, church? If you can't prove it. How many can say, I'm a Christian because 500 eyewitnesses saw him at one time? I'm a Christian because there's an empty tomb and I know he's alive. I'm a Christian because the baddest man in the ancient world became a Christian. Amen? I'm a Christian because Jesus Christ has the keys of death and hell. Amen? Oh, how many can say I'm glad to be a child of God? And I'm not going to give up anything for Jesus. Not even my own life. Can you say amen to that? That Christ is more important than life itself. Amen. I tell y'all, God been by here, y'all. Amen. And he came by here. Yes, sir. Just for you. Just for me. Let me say this to you. We're saved by grace through faith. Grace is everything God did for my salvation. The cross, the Holy Spirit, the Bible, the church, everything God has done for my salvation. And Brother Sperling say, we have a glorious salvation. Brother Jeremy Gray prayed so beautifully. Brother Jeremy Gray said, I thank God for every piece of bread I got on my table. Man, that's powerful. And I don't just thank God for the bread, and I know Jeremy doesn't either, but I thank God for every drop of blood that Jesus shed for my sins. I thank God for every lick he took. I thank God for every bruise he felt. I thank God for everything the Lord has done for me. And then faith is my part. It is my response to what God has done for me. How many glad the Lord did something for you? How many glad the Lord did something for you? How many can respond to what the Lord did for you? Well, let me tell you how you respond to it. If you're not a Christian, you respond by believing that report I told you about how he died. He was buried. He was rose. You repent of your sin. You confess Christ. You be immersed in water. That's how you respond. And if you're a child of God, you have to repent, confess, and pray. Now, let me give you this. The five steps to becoming a Christian is HBRCB. HCRCB. What's that? Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. And the steps to being restored is RCP. RCP. Y'all got that? Yes. HBRCB, that puts you in Christ, right? If you're outside and you need restoral forgiveness, RCP. What's RCP? Repent, confess, and pray. Y'all got that? HBRCP, right? Y'all got it? Y'all got it. And if you need his forgiveness, RCP. Repent, confess, and I'm responding. Don't act like God ain't been by here. Don't you be so hard-hearted and stubborn and so self-conceited, you act like God ain't been by here and ain't done nothing for you. And if somebody do something for you, you ought to say thank you. On the day, Jimmy, I let a lady in. She ain't even said thank you. You ever let a man in, they don't say thank you? Kind of upset you, don't it? Like you could throw your hand up or do something. And if God has done something for you, don't act like he ain't done nothing for you. Don't act like he ain't been by here for you. Don't get brand new on the Lord. You want to get brand new on Jesus. And you know the Lord done brought you a what? A mighty, mighty long way. God sent his son. They call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive, he live and die to buy my poor an empty grave. That's the proof. To prove my saving, because he lived, I can face tomorrow. Because all fear is gone, because I know he holds the future. and light.
Thank you.